check it out, man.
It is the Beating the Book podcast for October 9th, 2025, live from the Sirius XM studios, the swanky Sirius XM studios at the Wynn Las Vegas, our home away from home, called our permanent home. Not going to be here for the next couple of weeks because we get evicted for a couple of weeks, but we'll be back after that. In the meantime, we are here for this week, week six of the National Football League. As always, by the way, these pillars of the show, the staples of the show, whichever word you want to go with, Todd Wishnev from his mom's cork attic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, at T Wishnev on Twitter, looking as purple as ever. How you doing, Toddy?
Well, I'll tell you how I'm doing. If it's third down and eight and you're winning 21-19, are you actually winning in the National Football League? The answer is no. That's obvious.
He is referring, of course, to Jonathan Gannon. At tops, the third worst thing that the Cardinals committed in terms of errors on Sunday. We'll get into that. The worst survivor beat. Todd corrects me on this because I say it's the worst survivor beat in the history of survivors. He says it might be the worst beat ever, period, beyond survivor. And Will Hill, not from his mom's cork attic, but just getting back just now from Yankee Stadium after last night's Yankees loss to the Blue Jays, the elimination game. Will can be found on Twitter at not the Will Hill. And of course, he's the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. Willie, sorry about your Yankees, man.
It's all right. Sorry about my Yankees, too. Sorry about my Megapod record, which we'll get to here. I thought about using a rally cap, which has become somewhat famous here on Twitter for the Megapod. But you know what? It didn't work last night with the Yankees. So I have no reason to think it's going to work on the Megapod. So I left the rally cap off to the side here.
What network was that people captured you on yesterday?
I guess it was TSN in Canada, and a lot of people picked up, because I don't think it was Fox, the main one. So I went back and rewatched it. There's one, and I think his Twitter name is OPS for Commies, and he had a really funny tweet. He said, "Tension is so palpable in the Bronx that not the Will Hill," and he tagged me, "forgot to wear a hat properly." And then somebody else actually showed the TV feed where they just kind of zoom in me. I think Rosario's up in the seventh inning, and I just look like how you'd expect me to look after spending a bunch of money to watch my team get eliminated and watch the Blue Jays celebrate at Yankee Stadium.
Now you and Felica get to bitch and moan all offseason about not getting every free agent available. It's going to be fun.
Julie, doesn't it remind you of a song? Reminds me of a song. It goes a little bit like this. New York Yankees, New York Yankees, they suck. And they spend the most money, yet they still suck. Go to hell, Yankees fans.
There it is. I remember that song. It's a good song. And our guest, our rotating guest of the week, we have some historical notes courtesy of Tim Lawson, Megapod historian, in tribute to the 15th year of the Beating the Book podcast and of the Megapod specifically. It's really not the Beating the Book podcast because before it was the Betting Dork, but the Megapod has been 15 years. And here is the deal with our next guest, Joe Pita. This is only Joe Pita's second appearance on the NFL Megapod. His debut was week two of last year. Apparently, me and Todd were discussing the notes that I should bring to Antonio Pierce when I see him at the apartment building after multiple offenses for Dumbo of the Week. That's what we're talking about on that episode. Joe brought a fun bit to his first episode by introducing a faux sponsor for each bet, such as the Master Lock Bet of the Week, the Otis Elevator Letdown of the Week.
And I remember that.
Mop and glow when you need to mop
that
up your adversary.
That was very solid by Joe.
It was very solid. But that's just Joe on the Megapod. Joe had been on the podcast for years and years and years, all the way back to the Betting Dork, beginning on, you ready for this? And I'm curious if he would be able to guess this. Do you remember Joe Pita, everybody, author of Trading Bases, Moneyball for the Money Set, a man who comes from the finance world into sports betting, Trading Bases, Moneyball for the Money Set, the Joe Pita 2019 tour guide when he's doing golf analytics.
What about the Joe Pita who used to go to summer football practice for Dick Vermeil? What about that guy?
That guy? Joe Pita.
Westchester, Pennsylvania's own. Yes.
That's right.
Can you tell the Dick Vermeil? And it is good.
So were you first asking me, can I guess my first appearance?
First appearance.
I think I can. It was a baseball preview. We started with, I think, the American League, and it would have been in March of 2012.
Wow. March 27th, 2012.
Because I remember, Gil, we didn't really know you that well.
That's right.
We had some really good bits. I just enjoyed, talking with you so much, and it was so natural. To play off your stuff. We had so much fun. We decided to do the other league the next week.
That's right.
And that started our, yeah.
I remember I saw you, your blog, your Squarespace blog, somehow came across my, back when Twitter was a beautiful place, it came across and I started reading it. And I don't know why I decided to read it, but I was like, I'm going to read it. And I was like, who is this dude? And that's, and we turned out we both lived in San Francisco and the rest was history. What was the
Who won the World Series that year, Gil? I think it's a coincidence. It's a wild coincidence that you bring up 2012 that swept the World Series. Who was that?
It was an even year, wasn't it? Yeah. You know what that means. San Francisco Giants, just the second of three straight even years, I believe. That was the World Series that year was not the Rangers one, was not the Tigers one. The one in the middle.
Was the Tigers one.
Was the Tigers one. 2014 was the Royals.
They swept them. Romo struck out Cabrera to end it. I lost. Boy, I had Tiger series pretty big that year. I thought the Tigers pitching was going to carry him through. I overlooked the Giants' magic.
That was one of the greatest. Johnny Detroit flew me. I flew myself, but he got me a ticket. We had a thing where if the Tigers won their division that year, he would be so happy that he would fly me to the World Series if the Tigers and the Giants played. And sure enough, I was in Vegas, game four of the clincher. He flew me out to Detroit, never slept in Detroit, got there, flew back to Vegas, went straight back to the airport. For those.
That's awesome. Now thank you for the introduction and the Mega Pocket Historian is amazing. And because you have this beautiful studio, I thought that you probably need sponsors again. So I will have sponsors for the picks, but I also have a sponsor for my appearance. My appearance is brought to you by America's Municipal Golf Courses. Municipal Golf, where three good friends get together for a weekly hang, only to be forced to add a fourth, usually that weird guy in jorts picking balls out of the lake. Joe Peter, brought to you by America's Municipal Golf Courses.
There it is. Jorts. I like it. What was the other thing we were just about to ask? I was about to ask about the first date and the first date you were on. And then what was the second thing we were about to do? And then we got distracted.
Oh, the Dick Vermeil.
Dick Vermeil.
Yeah. Just briefly, the Eagles training camp. My dad was a professor at West Coast University. The Eagles held their summer training camp there. When I was 16, I worked at the camp and I used to shag balls for Tony Franklin. And then was at one point, Dick Vermeil challenged the defense after he challenged the special teams to make an extra point using me as the kicker. And I, in a phrase that has never been used to describe an NFL kick before, I tucked an extra point into the bottom corner of the goalpost to make that. I believe Max Runiger, it was either Max Runiger or Joe Pisarczyk, but I think it was Max Runiger was the holder.
But was it Vermeil's point was to show how easy it should be that you can pick up anybody from the crowd to make an extra point?
Pissed at Tony Franklin and the other kicker who had they had both had two extra points blocked in a row and he stormed over because he were in different pods and he stormed over to the special teams and he started screaming at them that anybody could make an extra point even that guy
and that was
the question point.
We're burying the lead. Did he make his extra point, Joe Pita, with a shoe on
The lower corner?
Did he make the extra point with his shoe on or off?
Now that's not I actually can to this day as a parlor trick kick field goals and extra points barefoot because that was and one of the things that people don't know is your shoe makes a perfect T. If you turn your shoe sideways and then stick the ball in the in the shoe, it makes a perfect T. So yes, I can walk out in any field and still do that. I have a bum leg now, but I did. My shoe was on, but that motion of kicking extra points or kicking field goals was not foreign to me, and yet I still choked and made contact with like my ankle, and that's why it never got more than 11 feet off the ground and sort of duck hooked into the corner, which was a little embarrassing because I did have better form than that.
I just want to say this to you, Joe. Thank you for telling that story on prompting, whereas this Schmendrick Todd Wishnev barely would tell his Yom Kippur story last week. It was very disconcerting.
Concerned about the audience getting audience fatigue. Sometimes you have to worry about the audience, Fezzik.
It seems unrelated to this, but okay, sure. Take a random stray, Fezzik, poor guy. All right, Todd, the records.
Well, we'll go to the records, and I do have a public apology to make to my good friend Gilly Alexander, because last Monday night we were watching, if you remember correctly, both Cleve TA and me went with the Jags plus 3.5, and Gilly went with the Kansas City Chiefs minus 3.5 in a mano-a-mano throwdown, and I said, texted on the thread, okay, Gilly tightens up the Megapod when the Chiefs had a 14-0 lead. And it wasn't me trying to pull a Fezzik and trying to, you know, jinx you and bring Hashem from the lower parts of Africa to beat you, but it was a legitimate, I didn't think there was any chance in hell the Jags were coming
back.
Doesn't
make it any better.
Doesn't. Well, that's why I'm publicly apologizing. I'm publicly apologizing. And due to that, Gilly went 1-2 to go to 6-9 for the year. Whew, he is not looking great. His teaser record goes to 2-3. Everybody lost the teasers because of the Arizona Cardinal game, which I'm sure we'll get to. Willie the Thrill, 3-12 on the season. He is due for an absolute turnaround, folks, and he loses his teaser to go to 4-1. I went 2-1 to go to 8-6-1 and 1-4 on teasers. And the guest spot with Cleve TA going 2-1 goes to 9-6 for the small outright lead by a half a game. And teasers 3-2. But in the main championship, I am 8-6-1 and Gilly is 6-9 for a bit of a 2.5 game trailing. So that's
because you got a 14-point play when Devin Lloyd went 99 yards with a pick. That's
It hurt me too. I had Chiefs third quarter. I paid for that.
Joe Pita, by the way, according to Tim Lawson, Megapod historian, trying to bounce back from a 1-2 performance last year with, but you nailed your teaser, he said last year, right?
For those tell Joe to take his shoe off.
Dude, I have a question, and maybe I could just ask Tim this. So does Tim, anytime we have a guest, like he knows the guest and he goes back and listens to that episode? Like how does he document this immaculately?
That's exactly what he does. He's aware of all the Megapod stats, who's a guest, when. Like he's like telling me about guests we've had on the Megapod that I don't even remember having on the Megapod. Yeah. He's like, oh, did you know Jeff Ma was on? I was like, no, I didn't. I didn't remember that at all.
Tim also listens to Guessing the Lines on Mondays, where we guess the lines and try to extract value, Todd.
Who doesn't do that? Everybody does that. Dumbo of the week. Dumbo of the week. There really isn't.
I just have to say, it goes over in my head over and over. The two craziest plays in the history of the National Football League, the guy dropping the ball, then the interception, then the fumble into the end zone. But by the way, I'm not sure that guy even really survived the ground. You know, the whole survive the ground shtick lock. But anyways, let's say he did fumble it into the end zone and it was a touchdown. I don't understand how these idiots. Please don't tell me, oh, these guys make $8 million a year and you're just some loser. I know that when it's 3rd and 8 and you're winning 21-9 and you just had two of the most ridiculous plays ever happen to you, you cannot run the ball into the line and then punt said ball to the other team and give them 4 downs to kick an 800-yard field goal against you and beat you. We know that. We know that. And then come out in the media the next couple of days and say, well, we both really didn't like the call on 3rd and 8. Well, then why did you call it? I just don't understand this level. As it's happening, I'm thinking, are they trying to lose? What is going on here?
You have the Cardinals and Survivor like I did?
Yes, Cardinals minus 2.
Yeah, I was going to go through the candidates. I was going to say, oh, Mike Vrabel getting too cute with timeouts at the end of the first half. Kyle Shanahan up 23-20 with 105 left. Rams with all 3 timeouts. We forgot about this already on Thursday night. He ran the ball into the line of scrimmage 3 times. Took 12 seconds.
One second. You could at least give him a pass because they were inside their own 5. I know I didn't like it either.
Yeah, inside their own 1 to start.
It's not the same thing.
Okay. And then Liam Cohen not calling timeout end of the first half against the Chiefs. That was egregious, right? Yeah. Just let 30 seconds go by and they end up doing nothing with the football. And the Jaguars make all kinds of mental mistakes. But Todd is right. It's got to be the Cardinals collective of you're about to be up 28-6. DeMarcado flips the ball up in the air before he crosses the goal line. It's the play again, picked off by Demerson. He rolls on the ground. Todd was saying he's not even sure he survived the ground, but they ruled that he did. He fumbles it untouched. It gets kicked into the end zone, by the way, and then batted, kicked and batted. The doubleheader into the end zone. And of course, Tyler Lockett of all players. Of course he does. He falls on it. But there's also, and then, and what Todd was referring to was the 3rd and 8 Jonathan Gannon, first and eight, first and 10, second and eight, third and eight, run, run, run. The third and eight, Will, you were saying you didn't even have the audio. You were watching and you were in disbelief watching this on your phone. Was that correct?
I was on the air as it was happening. I said, oh, right. If he runs the ball here, he's going to lose. It was plus 170 live for the Titans, which I think some of these numbers at the end of these games are just flat wrong. To be plus 170 when you're down two and you're getting the ball back, and like Todd says, you have all four downs to work with. My jaw almost hit the floor when he ran the ball there.
It's horrible.
I will say, Will Hill, while he might not have a good record currently on the Megapie, he is outstanding at those late game plus money juicy balls right there where he just jams it right up in there.
I asked Gil this, Todd, and Joe, I guess you could jump into it. Would you? I guess it's hard to say when DeMarcado was running in, but what did I ask you, Gil? Would you have taken 200-1 on the Titans, I guess, when the Cardinals were up 21-6?
And
Gil,
what did I
said
say?
No. I mean,
no. I wouldn't have.
What number would you have needed to take the Titans on the money line when it was 21-6 in Arizona ball?
You mean they were running?
As he's running in. 200-1 wouldn't have been enough.
Let me ask you guys about the question at the end of that game, because I had no Arizona survivor exposure. I was, hoping tennis. And again, I'll give you the tennis let that you gave me last night.
Yes.
I apologize.
Full apology in advance.
Was rooting for Tennessee. Did you think Tennessee should have settled for the field goal down at the goal line, or because they kneeled, they took the ball back from what, the 1-4 or something? I thought Arizona would have let them score if they would have ran it in. And I thought they should have. Yeah. I did not like relying on Joey Sly to.
He almost missed it too. I thought live. Yeah, but he sneaked that in. Speaking of right. What was the term you used, Joe, of tuckering it in or whatever? He really snuck that one in.
He's probably lucky that was shorter than an extra point, because an extra point would have gone wide right, if there was any more distance needed for that. I thought they should have run it in. I did not like settling for that field goal in the last 20-35 seconds. I'd have much rather been up, what, 5 and kicking off with 25 seconds left than putting it all on that kick.
Not to mention that when they got it to 21-12... he kicked the worst extra point I've ever seen in my life. Like, it was wide right by the width of the goalpost to the right. So,
and that's when we knew we were all safe. Arizona, we were going to survive the DeMarcado disaster, 9-point lead. Thank God we're not going to lose survivor on that, because we're good. We're up 9 and it's the Titans. There's no reason to worry.
There was one other play before the DeMarcado flip when it was in the third quarter. It was still 21-6 21-6, yeah. I guess, at the time. And, field goal range at the minimum, short field goal range for the Cardinals. They're in shotgun, and Kyler Murray gets the ball snapped into his face. And not only gets the ball snapped into his face, but then acted like Mike Tyson punched him in the face. The ball was sitting there 3 yards and 4 yards in front of him. And he's like looking at it like, well, I'm not going to pick that up. It was ridiculous. What were we watching?
It's funny because Willie texted when it was 21-12, right before the interception debacle touchdown thing, he texted Titans plus 6.5, which is a really good bet at that point, because the Titans are likely to try a field goal. They're down 9 if they're stuck on fourth down. So I was thinking, yeah, that's a good bet, except what if Cam Ward throws an interception? And then as Cam Ward throws the interception, I'm thinking, God, I'm so smart. Willie's such a doofus. He didn't even realize. And then, of course, look what happens. They kick it into the end zone, and Willie's 6.5 was as golden as can be.
I mean, Joe's still in it, though. You got 4 survivors left and then 2 that you're not in control of in addition.
That's right. I have 4 of my 6 that I control, and then I subcontracted out 4, and 2 of those still exist. And
so one guy, I think Drew Dinsick and Andy Mauer were saying on their deep dive podcast, there's one guy or one group with 10 entries, all 10 still left. I don't know if that's right, but I think that's what they said on one of their podcasts the other day.
Yeah, I was telling Gil another really interesting tidbit. You probably noticed last week one person took the Titans actually as the pick. So I went back and looked at who it was and looked at his history. It's his only entry. It's been his only entry. And the first 4 weeks, there was nothing strange about his picks. I really wonder if it was a mistake.
Gotta be a mistake.
And he chose the losing team. He picked the team to lose instead of to win, because it doesn't fit with any of his other picks. And like I say, he's only ever had one, so it's not like he was doing some
right
throwing something into the volcano.
What's his entry name?
Buffalo-1.
He's totally winning this. He's totally winning. We got to monitor that guy. All right. Well, good on you. Who are you considering this week?
Obviously, Green Bay is a consideration. I'm leaning toward two Green Bay, one Washington, and then the fourth being either Pitt because of that very favorable schedule.
I've been
following that. I had taken Washington with a pick a few weeks ago because Seattle was taking their second East Coast trip out of three off a short week. I had taken Minnesota last week. I probably didn't deserve that win. Maybe Survivor, but certainly not in millions. I didn't deserve that cover. But again, that was because of the huge scheduling advantage they have. And of course, Pittsburgh has a monster scheduling advantage this week versus Cleveland. So I'm either going to take Pittsburgh or Indianapolis with that fourth pick.
Yeah, the Pittsburgh scheduling advantage you're talking about, Cleve TA talked about this before the year. Arguably the greatest scheduling advantage of any game we've ever seen. Back from London, no rest. Teams have the choice whether they can take a week off after an international game. Kevin Stefanski and the Browns said, nope, no thanks. We'll just play. They're going to Pittsburgh, who's coming off a bye. And it's a rookie quarterback in Dylan Gabriel making his second start. So
honestly, I don't see the big deal here. Yinza don't realize that you can go London straight to Pittsburgh International. 20 minutes, you're down at Acrisure. I don't even see what Yinza are talking about. You can sleep right at the Rivers Hotel. It's 10 minutes walking away, maybe 5 minutes. So where's your scheduling advantage and whatnot? You can get Mills right there. Big, big Mills.
Where are you flying into Pittsburgh from?
You get London to Pittsburgh International and that in Coriopolis. They're down there in 20 minutes. I don't even understand what the big deal is.
Not like I understand the rest of the accent, but the London thing is the part that I really understand.
Somebody goes down there, washes up the uniforms because, you know, you're going to have a soiled uniform. You're going to need it washed. You get that thing washed. You put a couple gum bands around all the thing and you're all done in that.
All right. There it is. Don't be too sure about Pittsburgh, I guess. Okay, where are we now? Thursday Night Football? Oh, we have to get Todd. Todd, I have a couple in games for you that you actually noted. Do you need a reminder of what you wanted to talk about?
No, I want to talk about this one because it's something that I'm a doofus and I do, and I hope other people don't make the same mistake. But I believe you're talking about the Dolphins game, right?
Yes, the text you sent started with, "Here's why I suck." Please go on.
Here's why I suck. Okay, so it's a classic Panthers-Dolphins matchup. It smells, it reeks that it's going down to the end here. At the time, the Dolphins led by 4 in the fourth quarter. I look at, you know, some of these places have the alternate lines going all the whole time. I see I can get +4 -177 on the Panthers because I like the Panthers here in this spot. And I can do that. Or I can go with, I believe Dolphins were up 17-13. I can go with Dolphins under 20.5 with a regular vig of like -110 or something, right? And so instead of just doing the Panthers +4 or at -170, or even taking Panthers +3 at a more reasonable vig, it was 17-13. So they were down 4. The whole point of that, I wanted to get the 4 just in case the game ended on 4. So instead of just biting the bullet and taking the damn 4, I talked myself into the Dolphins 20.5. And it was a mistake because I knew in the back of my head, I said, wait a second, this game could easily be 20-20 if the Panthers get a touchdown and the Dolphins get a field goal and I could lose like that. And it didn't even have to happen because the Dolphins got in the end zone before that. The point is, if you like something, don't talk yourself into some other ancillary thing because you don't want to bite the bullet on the vig. If you think the vig is too high, then just don't make the bet. But in this case, to me, I think there's at least a 66% chance or better that the Panthers are not losing by more than 4 in that spot when it's 17-13. Because at worst case, you know, maybe the Dolphins would have run out the clock up 17-13. Or like we saw, the Panthers were going to score, which is what I thought all along. You know, it smelled of down to the wire. Just bite the bullet and play the -177. So don't suck like I do sometimes.
Yeah.
That game you brought up, Todd, reminded me of, I don't know if you guys remember this, a couple weeks back, the Storm and the Aces played in the WNBA playoffs, and the Storm were trailing big right before the end of the first half, and the Aces came, or the Aces, led up the lead, and anyone who had the Aces in the first half really suffered a bad beat. Did it remind you of that game, Todd?
Are you talking about the game where I had -1.5 in the first half, up 45-37 with 1 minute to go? Because if that's what you're talking about, I know exactly what you're talking about, because it was a 7-0 run in the last minute, including a steal after the basket. So, and a three. It, whatever.
You know, I don't even want to talk about it. What was so great about that, that for the first 20 seconds of that, I was like, oh, Will's really making a good point here. I wonder where he's going with
it. No, he's just trying to stick it to me. He loves sticking it to me. That's his whole thing of life. How can I stick it to the fat guy?
Get stick it to him. By the way, last one, Todd, real quick, because we want to get to the best bets. But the other one you wanted to mention was great in-game to share on over 49.5 when it was 21-16 in the Bills game.
No, that was the week before. We did that one last week.
Did that one already?
Yeah, okay. We did that one last week. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Which brings us to our best bet, starting with Thursday Night Football. Do you have anything in Thursday Night Football?
I do.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I got to play for Thursday
Joe
night.
Joe Pita and his Eagles at the Giants.
Yeah. This, right. Eagles at the Giants. Todd, or is it Will? Who keeps the official? What are we looking at?
I keep the official.
Todd is the court stenographer and the official gatekeeper of the Beating the Book podcast.
Joe. So spread and total, please.
Here you go, Joe. There you go. What'd you say? What is he asking for?
Spread and total.
Yeah. Oh, no, we all decide on what the line is. I say the line is 7 and 40.5. What do you guys say?
I say it is 7, and it is definitely 7. 7 is the is for sure the spread. 43.5, yes.
No, 40.5.
40, well, I'm seeing, what am I looking at?
Not 43.5, it's 40.5.
Maybe you looked at the opener.
Yeah, the what opener was 43. At? It's now 40.5.
40.5, okay. Yeah, so I will be going under 40.5. I was hoping for 41. Yeah. It was 41 at Circa this morning. But yeah, this pick is brought to you by the Spider-Man franchise. Spider-Man, you've seen this movie before. And that's what this Thursday night play is. Wow. It's the under on Thursday night. And especially if you remember, Thursday night unders are frequent, and it was especially true when all the Thursday night games were interdivisional games. And I think that's what we're going to get again here. And the logic really is, well, whimsiness of sponsorships aside, I'm going to try to raise the discourse here a little bit and quote, I think for the first time, and maybe our historian will be able to tell us this, I'm going to quote Nobel Prize winning economist Milton Friedman.
Wow.
In this pick here. He has a description for what he calls the fool in the shower. And he describes that as central bankers who should implement change, monetary change, slowly, allowing their actions to take effect. If they are impatient, then they end up like the fool in the shower, alternately freezing and scalding themselves as they're whipping the controls back and forth.
I like that.
And gentlemen,
Milton Friedman's got some problems, man.
Gentlemen, that reminds me of the Eagles' offensive game plan. From week to week, they are swinging to running the, focusing on, we're going to get AJ Brown touches, or, obviously we know now last week they ended up throwing the ball a tremendous amount after not completing a pass in the second half the week before against Tampa. So this week now, of course, the narrative is we got to get Saquon Barkley more carries. So they are just whipping between a two run oriented offense to a two pass oriented offense. And I suspect this week it is going to be run oriented offense. So we're going to see more clock killing drives. The problem with the Eagles right now, I think, is the offensive line. I don't think it's the skill position players. I don't necessarily think it's the calls. I think the offense has been fairly well suited for the amendment they're seeing in the box and the capabilities of the offensive line. So again, I see everything pointing to an under, and especially the Eagles defense. They have faced a murderer's row of offenses so far. And that might be too kind to Bo Nix. But the first four, look who that defense has faced, and they're still ranked, I think, in the top 10 for
eighth
EPA for EPA per play.
Yeah.
And yet and that's not adjusted for opponent. So they have, they faced Dak Prescott. They've faced Patrick Mahomes on the road. They face Baker Mayfield on the road, and they face the Rams and Matthew Stafford. And then, of course, last week, Denver. I you wouldn't put Bo Nix in that category, but you might put their wide receiver number one in that category, because that's the first person that I have seen Quinton Mitchell not be able to handle in 2 years. So, in any event, they've been playing good defense or offenses. They are not this week, so more pointing to a grinded out. I'm looking for something like a 20-6 final. I at first I thought I'd be on the Giants, but the more I look at it, I think the Eagles do grind out a win here. But I really like the under. So that's the that is the first play of the week, brought to you by the Spider-Man franchise.
So you would really like the team total of the Giants under, I think, is really where you're going with this.
I try not to get too cute, Todd, in that. But yes, certainly that's the way I'm breaking down the handicap.
I have a tendency to be too cute all the time.
You still have time to change your pick, Joe, because this is one of my picks too. I'm on the under as well.
Oh, you're done. You're done, Joe.
Yeah. I will add to Joe's wonderful handicap, and it was a really good handicap. I like that. Yes. What is it? The fool in the shower. That was a good analogy. 30.8 seconds per play for Philly, according to Sharp Analysis Football. Fifth slowest team in the league. Giants, no neighbors, no Darius Slayton. Who is Dart throwing the ball to? A lot of it is just him running around. I think they'll probably go run heavy. Not a lot of weapons. As someone who had unders last week, it does make me nervous. It just feels like every time you're checking the score, checking the game cast, feels like somebody's at the 40-yard line. And when you're at the other 40, you're in field goal range. It's not a comfortable feeling betting these unders anymore with the field position. But that being said, everything Joe said is true. Slow pace from Philly, banged up skill guys for the Giants, rookie quarterback. I'll go under the 40.5 too.
Yeah. It's greatly thought of. Eagles are 28th in the NFL in net yards per play at -0.9. That's two spots below the Giants at -0.8. But as Joe pointed out, the Eagles are going to love seeing Jackson Dart after that murderer's row of quarterbacks on the other side of the ball. New York has allowed 5.3 yards per carry, so even more inviting to go run with Saquon Barkley. They rank 30th in the league in EPA per rush on defense. Saquon this year averaging, you ready for this? This is the most amazing stat. Through five games, 71.9 rushing yards fewer per game than he did last year. Good God.
Wow.
Yeah. So yes, that's the thing. I've never heard a prop more universally discussed than Saquon overs today. So all of that leading to the under. I like it. But Will Hill's betting it, so good. God help you. Yep. Sorry, Will. Will, what's your record right now?
3-12. We went over the records in the beginning. If people want to know my record, they can rewind to the beginning. I would add one prop to this. I'll probably bet this. I don't know how much you guys jump in. I know you guys got a winner when I was doing something. I text out, if anyone could see this, it was Florida in Texas. No score in the first 6 minutes. Sometimes it's 5.5. Sometimes it's 6.5, depending on the total. I hit it with the Browns Vikings. And that college one I couldn't find, but you guys had it, I think, on somewhere offshore. But this is one where no score in the first 6 minutes might be a good one too, because you just get a couple first downs and a punt for each team, and all of a sudden that 5-6 minutes goes pretty quickly.
You only need a punt from one team, actually, because by the time the other team has it, there's not enough time.
I bet it at Bookmaker, Will, when you said it. By the way, that was a very Wishnevian move by you to say a bet and then not bet it. And of course it wins after that. Todd Wishnev, everybody.
By the way, I want to say I Eagles -7 was almost one of my picks. It's a heavy lean. I have a heavy, heavy lean on that.
I bet the Giants +7.5 on a little show I like to call Guessing Lines, and I deeply regret it because I can just imagine how I'm going to lose this one tonight.
Yeah, this is not going
to be one of my picks.
The Eagles just feel due for a can of whoop-ass opening on somebody. But anyways, I'm going to have my pick, because we're sponsoring picks today, I'm going to have my pick sponsored by the Mediocre Broadcasters of America, led by their vice chairman, young Gil Alexander, as he is one of the most mediocre of all mediocres. Anyways, I don't know what that has to do with my pick, other than maybe my pick's going to be mediocre.
Let's take a shot at it.
I will take, in my first pick for today, the under. Actually, I'm not even going to say that I'm taking the under. What is the under in the Kansas City game? Now you guys know I'm taking the under. So you're going to
28.5. Wow, that really went down. really wow. Sharp like money 53. On the under.
It looks like 53. Is it 53?
Jason Steam.
That's right. 53. Yes, sir. No, 52 and a half. And
yeah, I think more 52 and a half.
Yeah, buddy. Don't
take under 52 and a half in the Lions versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, last time we met up with our crew from Kansas City, they were putting the ball up and down the field, except in the third quarter when I needed it, of course, against the Jaguars. What I would consider a slightly below average defense. I mean, everybody pretty much moved the ball against the Jaguars, except really bad offensive teams. So I don't think that there's anything to get all like, oh, Kansas City's back with their big, high-powered offense. They also put the numbers up on the Ravens, but everyone's putting the numbers up on the Ravens. I think we still haven't proven. I still don't believe Kansas City can run the ball. And now if they're just going to throw the ball all over the place with short passes to like Kelce and et al., people like him, I just don't see them doing it against what I would consider a better defense in the Detroit Lions. On the other side of the ball, I still think Kansas City is pretty good on defense, except Chris Jones, when he doesn't seem to want to try, when a guy is laying on the floor and he just stands there just watching. That was just unbelievable to me. I'm sure you guys saw that all over Twitter on the last play when Trevor Lawrence is laying on the ground and Chris Jones is just kind of standing in no man's land doing nothing. Anyways, I still think that Kansas City is a defensive team. That's what this bet is all about, really. I think that we have not seen Kansas City transition back into their old, you know, old shoot 'em up Kansas City from years ago. I still think it's a defensive team. I still think the Lions are going to run the ball. I still think 52 and a half is a high number. Give me under 52 and a half in the Lions, Kansas City, and let's hope for some 8-minute drives.
That Trevor Lawrence touchdown where Chris Jones didn't move. Like a newborn horse scoring a touchdown. That's what it reminds you. They keep stumbling, falling down. Two for me, right? Two for me.
Two for Gilly.
I'm taking the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm giving the 5.5.
Wow.
Yeah, to the point now where I feel like if this doesn't manifest, we're never allowed to talk about scheduling spots ever again. Because this is the ultimate. Again, Steelers off a bye, at home, Browns coming back from London next week. Following week, playing football in an away game. Dylan Gabriel in his second start ever.
Didn't you hear what I said about Pittsburgh International and that?
I did hear all that.
Rookie quarterback, they finally got some film on him too, which is a good part of your handicap too. They finally got a little film on Gabriel, who was not as bad as I thought.
No, he's fine.
They didn't let him do anything. They made him dink it and dunk it.
Dink it and dunk it. I'd just like to think that the Steelers veteran defense will be able to handle this situation. Better than they have been all year. So the Steelers are the play for me. Shedeur Sanders, a heartbeat away from the presidency.
Can I warn you, though, Gilly? And this, I'm doing it out of love and peace. Peace and love. I'm doing it out of peace and love. I'm just going to tell you one thing. I've been watching this store offense. It ain't that great. And that Bryony defense is pretty solid. And you're asking us to go down there and win by a margin. It's already chilly out. I'm telling you right now, go outside. It's chilly. We're going to have a hard time winning this football game by 5.5, but that's a warning for you.
Well, warning heeded, taken under advisement. My number two, I'm taking the Detroit Lions plus the points, plus what is it, 2.5?
Yeah.
Plus 2.5 against the Kansas City Omaha Chiefs. Those of us of a certain age remember the Kansas City Omaha Kings. I will take the Lions. I think they're a better football team up and down. I think the Chiefs probably should have won that game against the Jaguars. Obviously a 14-point swing on the pick six. When the Chiefs were knocking at the door and Devin Lloyd took it 99 yards. I like the Chiefs, but I think the Detroit Lions, I have them power ranked as my number one team in all of football. I think they are the most balanced team offensively and defensively. If Terrion Arnold can just stop inducing flags, which I am a little worried about, that's a sort of a game equalizer. But I feel like the Lions are just running on all cylinders right now. I don't think Jared Goff has an away game problem or a cold problem if the weather goes that way. Detroit Lions plus 2.5. One of my quick instincts on this slate of games as well. Sunday night. That's all I got there. Willie.
What do we have for Rams and Ravens?
Side?
Yeah.
We have 7.5. Favor the Rams.
Usually I wouldn't be laying two scores or so, or having to win by two scores on the road, but my usually is led to a 3-12. So I'll be a square ball here. I'll lay it with the Rams. I think the Ravens are atrocious defensively. This version of the Ravens defense is probably the worst defense in the league. We talked last week. I think is a game I want no part of. This Cooper Rush to Lamar or Lamar to Cooper Rush transition doesn't work because it's a different offense. And the Rams are number one DVOA offensively. They're number three DVOA overall. They have extra rest, having not played since Thursday. You're not going to catch them napping or overconfident because they were just overconfident in napping against the 49ers, which, you know, they really dominated play to play, really outgained them in terms of yards per play, I think by 2 yards plus per play. But extra rest, motivation, and just a depleted Ravens team or depleted Ravens defense, Rams are going to win this game by double digits. I will lay the 7.5 with the LA Rams.
It's my third as well, Will. I'm with you. Hate to say it. I'm with you, Willie. My two plays on guessing lines are no longer available, so those are not any part of my three plays. Colts minus 5.5 now up to 7, and the Giants plus 7.5 now down to 7. So those are not among my three Megapod plays, but that's my third. Toddy Wishnev, everybody.
I like the Rams too, minus 7.5. I had that written down as not one of my top three, but it was definitely another one that I really like. By the way, the Ravens defense is not the worst in football. I've gone back through the Aaron Schatz database. It's the worst defense since the 1991 Houston Texans. Okay, that's a club that you probably didn't know existed back in 1991, but folks, right, it did, and they had a terrible, terrible defense. Anyways. They are just atrocious. And I think the only reason they're getting 7.5 is because of the name Ravens. They should be getting a million because their defense is that bad. The Houston Texans rolled up 44 points. Houston can't score on anyone. It's unbelievable. And they're only 7.5. I think you're both going to win this one. I'm not taking that as my second pick. I'm going to go instead with a little team some have called the Washington Commanders, folks. That's Gilly's favorite team, folks. And yeah, sure, you don't want to make Gilly happy. But on the other hand, you got to pick winners. So right here, minus 4.5. Is that the number that you all have on Commandy?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Commanders minus 4.5. Here's what we've seen from the Commanders. First of all, this Jaden Daniels kid, he might be pretty good. He really might be pretty good, this kid. And, you know, the Commanders' defense is kind of under the radar, sort of okay-ish. You know, I mean, after they gave up the 10 points to the Chargers, they just shut them down like they were nothing. And I don't see why they can't shut down a guy named Caleb, who I love to just dump on. Caleb scores a touchdown. Give me a break. He stinks. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to get better with Johnson. He may. For right now, I'm not going out and getting all excited because they beat the Vegas Raiders. Give me a break. The Raiders stink. So give me it. Now you're telling me they're going to go into Commander Land, a team with a legitimate average defense and a great player like Jaden Daniels. After being down 10-0, they come back and just spank the hell out of the Chargers. Only 4.5? That's all I got to do is 4.5? Get out of here. Give me the goddamn Commanders minus 4.5.
Hail Mary revenge game, by the way.
Hail Mary and revenge. That's right. Yeah, that game worries me a little bit, I have to tell you.
Are you going to give me a peace and love warning?
Peace and love. I'm going to give you a love and peace. I said, why do I sound like I'm an old Yiddish man, old Orthodox Jew saying it? Peace and love. No, I'm a little worried because Caleb can sling it and the defense has been suspect. But I was saying this after the Chargers game. There's something about Jaden just being present and all of a sudden the defense starts inducing turnovers. Like everybody plays well. And I don't know if you know this, he doesn't play defense, but it's just an incredible thing with this team, with this kid. Joe Pita, ladies and gentlemen, you have picks 2 and 3 here.
Okay. So we have what? Arizona, Indianapolis. That's a 7-point line.
That is 7.
Yeah. So I've asked Gil when he has Aaron Schatz on a numbers game, I believe, tomorrow, to see if we've ever had a quarterback be so bad for so long.
Can I make a correction? Are you guys seeing more 7.5s now?
7.5s now. That makes me think no Murray.
Nah, I think Kyler Murray might not be playing.
Okay. I think this is a great question about priors versus what you're seeing this season. And I think this line is stuck somewhere in the middle there. If you really believe in Daniel Jones priors, 7.5 is probably too high. And if you truly want to throw those out, then 7.5 is probably too low. And I'm going to, when I look at Daniel Jones. I'm going with the getting rid of the priors and truly basing on what we've seen this year, which is really unassailable. And that's why this pick, the Indianapolis -7.5 points, this pick is brought to you by the New Testament. The New Testament, you talk about a resurrection when even your closest work colleagues have left you for dead. I think that really applies to Daniel Jones.
About a resurrection.
Did you see him on the podcast, Joe? Did you see him on the podcast saying that how they practice in the quarterback room is completely different and much more sophisticated than when he was on the Giants? Did you see that on Twitter?
I did not see that. It's something. It's certainly something. I just can't believe how much he's turned around in accuracy, mistakes, et cetera. The only thing I'd add to that is, and you touched on it with the Hail Miriam. I was trying to think of teams with hangovers, right? And what happens after they truly give away a game with gaffes. And of course as you mentioned, the game last year with the Bears, and that wasn't just that they lost on a Hail Mary, but you may remember that there was a player who was ignoring the play and mocking the crowd. And he was one of the last lines of defense for the Hail Mary. And of course we know what happened after that. The Bears lost 9 straight games and everyone was fired. If we go back to the Miracle of the Meadowlands, 1978, the Giants lost their last 4 games. Everyone was fired after that gaffe. So I think there's an Arizona hangover here, too. So, yeah, the Indianapolis is -7.5 is play number 2. For play number 3, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, I went 1-2 last year. The one that did hit, that sponsor has graciously agreed to come back. So this is pick number 3 is going to be the Otis Elevator letdown game of the week.
Wow. They bought again. They bought time again.
Cause they got it. They hit it last year when the Vikings won outright as a home underdog versus the Niners. This year, the letdown play of the week, the letdown game of the week, is going to land us on New Orleans +3.5. If I got that right.
Saints. I don't know if it's 3.5, is it? Yeah, 3.5.
So you got New England off a huge win on Monday night. You know, finally beat there on the road. They beat their division rivals. They get a short week now, continuing on the road down to New Orleans. I have not thought that New Orleans is that bad, as certainly as they were projected. I'd feel a little happier if that win last week didn't come from, you know, all winning that turnover battle so decisively. But I do think this is a letdown spot, a real big letdown spot for the Patriots here. I think we know that the biggest letdown spots are always out of conference games on the road. Those are the losses that mean the least when it comes to standings and tiebreakers at the end of the year. I'll take the New Orleans Saints plus the points.
I love the sponsors. Talk about a resurrection. You know, the best part, the underrated part about Cosell was the weird laugh. It'd be,
Jesus, at the 50 to the 40, pitches it back to Paul. He goes the rest of the way.
Joe, I'll give you another collapse that led to a further collapse, and this is one you'll remember. I'm surprised you didn't bring it up. I thought you were going to when you mentioned Eagles Giants, the DeSean Jackson punt return game. Yes. Where the Eagles were down 21, I think, in the fourth quarter and won it in regulation. Giants got blown out next week by the Packers. I think they actually ended up finishing 10-6, but missed the playoffs. That was one that was just a stunning.
Oh, that is a good follow up. And I have to throw in Gil because of our age. Yes. As long as you mention Howard Cosell, my favorite Howard Cosell mention ever, of course, it has to do with the many interviews he did with the great Muhammad Ali. And my favorite one is where Cosell was pontificating and he starts saying to Ali, there are a lot of people that say you're this, you're that, you're truculent. What do you say to that? And Ali says, he just looks at him. He said, I don't know what truculent means, Howard, but if it's good, I'm that.
Yeah. I don't know what truculent means, but if it's good, I'm that. It's so quick. Muhammad, always with a quip. Oh, wait. So we didn't ask that thing. So what we were, we'll ask this because Joe is, what I'm going to ask Aaron Schatz tomorrow to try to give a comp for Danny Dimes is, and I'll let you say it, Joe. What is the.
Yeah. Has there ever been a quarterback who had so many consecutive years of abysmal negative DVOA rankings. I think the best he did was in his fourth year, he got to average, and that's what got him his rookie contract extension. And then he went back to below average slash abysmal for the 23 and 24 seasons. And of course, right, the team just, you know, they cut him last year. I don't know if we've ever, Darnold is maybe somewhat of a comp, but he went to different teams. He got tutelage then from Kyle Shanahan when he didn't play for a year. And then he got that letter of recommendation from Shanahan to the Vikings in terms of, you know, he signed off on yeah, this guy. He's, you know, we like him.
By the way, both teammates last year for the 24 Minnesota Vikings, my Vikings, who you had two of the best quarterbacks in the league right now. Darnold, if you look at like EPA, all the advanced stuff, Darnold is right there and Daniel Jones is right there. They were both on the Vikings and the Vikings still don't have a quarterback. Let me know how that's
still awesome. Don't have either of them. That's right.
What about Billy Kilmer of the Washington Redskins?
Circa yeah, there was 1978. That's right.
That's where he threw end over end passes, right?
Yes, he did. A spiral was never seen out of Billy Kilmer's hand. Toddy, your final one. What do you got?
Well, I looked at the board and I said to myself, what's a theme that I've been harping on, and I won with last week? A theme that I've been harping on is the Buffalo Bills defense is not good. And everyone gets a gigundous boner about the Buffalo Bills. And it's because Josh Allen is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. But there are two sides in football, Gilly. Josh Allen doesn't play on the defensive side of the ball. And I didn't see anything from the Buffalo Bills that made me think they're turning things around on defense against the Patriots, who I had +8 last week here on the Megapod. Might have been a 7.5. I don't remember exactly, but it was something like that. The point is, this Buffalo Bills defense, we saw them give up $1 billion to the Ravens the first week. We saw them give up $1 billion to some other team after the Jets in the third week. I can't remember exactly who right this moment, but they're not stopping people on the defensive side of the ball. They're winning games, sure, because they got Josh Allen. They do all kind of shenanigans and they win the football game, but they go up against a decent offense. How are they going to win by margin? It's exactly what I said last week, and they didn't win by margin against the Patriots. Well, they didn't even win the game. Now you're asking them to go into the Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Dome. Everyone knows it's a very difficult place to play at the Mercedes-Benz Dome. I believe I'm getting 4.5 points, am I not?
With the Mercedes-Benz Dome Falcons? Yes, you are. Yeah. You're getting 4.5, yeah.
You're giving me 4.5 points with the Atlanta Falcons. So you're telling me the Bills are going to go on the road, score a bunch of points, and then also hold the other team down. I don't see it. The Atlanta Falcons can be pretty, other than when they just lay a total stinker in Carolina, they can be pretty explosive. This Bijan Robinson guy, I don't know if you've seen him play, but this guy is quite an outstanding athlete. They've got a lot of action. Penix, I like Penix, and the Bills defense is just not that good. So you cannot expect the team to go on the road into a Mercedes-Benz Dome crowd and somehow get out of there with a 4.5 point lead. You could be down late, you know, 10 points, and they put it in late on you and you get the backdoor cover. So give me Atlanta +4.5. I just don't believe the Bills can win by margin with that defense.
All right, we're going to do a little game here. I'm going to ask you all now to give me the team you think that will represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. Ooh. And we're on the count of three, and I want you to say the team name, not the city, because I'm curious what everyone's going to come up with here.
Wait, don't do, we're all doing it at the same time?
We're all doing it at the same time, because I want to.
Okay, well, okay, so give me a second we don't have to do it at the same time, or we do?
We don't have to do it at the same time, I guess. Okay. But I think it's a very, because I think of the NFC, you're largely going to come down on the Lions or Eagles, maybe the Packers, maybe one of the NFC West teams. I think the AFC is completely thrown up in the air. Buffalo has the schedule that will perhaps end them up with the number one seed. But I agree with Todd that I just don't see them as this great team. And now with Baltimore, with all the injuries, Kansas City's 2-3. I'm just curious what everybody thinks. Joe, who do you think right now if I had to press?
Chiefs.
Chiefs. That's, yeah, I think that might be mine.
I think the weapons are coming back. We're seeing the offense open up a little bit more.
I think it's Chiefs for me, too. Toddy?
Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, come on. I just can't.
Love that running game. You guys all hate Danny Jones. Did you hear about the New Testament?
Coming back from the dead.
I love the phrasing. Talk about a resurrection. Will?
Chiefs,
yeah. After all that, Chiefs. That's
not like I feel great about it, but if I had to pick, it's just, yeah. You know, I'll go down with Mahomes. I mean, it's that strategy, that mindset has gotten me more good than bad. I mean, it didn't work last year in the Super Bowl, but you know, when in doubt, go with Mahomes has not been a bad strategy in the eighth year in the league, 5 Super Bowl appearances, 2 losses in the AFC title game, 5 at home, both in overtime. It's just incredible.
9 straight NFC, 9 straight AFC West titles.
Yeah.
Been to 5 out of the last 6 Super Bowls. That's incredible, by the way. What if I said to you, Will, you and I talked about this on Should Have Been More a little
Maybe
bit.
Maybe Denver's
there. What if I said to you, okay, the Baltimore Ravens are currently 1-4.
They play
the Rams this week. We believe they're going to lose, right, with all their injuries. They're going to be 1-5 heading into their bye. After their bye week, their schedule is cake.
But they're what cake. Have you seen their defense?
I have seen their defense. I'm just getting out the sentence. Would you take the Ravens number's not good enough to take this bet, right? It's just not good enough.
Ravens to do what?
To I don't know. Pick what you want to pick to win the AFC.
No way.
What number is it?
That's what I'm trying to ascertain right now. Can't get a connection. But it's not nearly as good as you'd need to.
They're going to lose to the Vikings on the road. They're going to
lose. What is the number you would need?
You need
to win the AFC. 15-1 or so. I don't know. 15-1 just jumps to my head. I mean,
yeah, you're not getting that.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing is you could really make – I mean, they're still division favorites, so you could at least like paint a picture. They get their guys back on defense. You get Lamar back, which is obviously essential, and then you somehow win that division, which is not impossible, and you get a home playoff game. Then you're at least – you're not in that scenario where you're playing all your games on the road, but I don't know, 15-1 to at least –
But how do they – they don't have a defense, Willie.
I'm with you. I bet them last week plus 375 to miss the playoffs. I bet Steelers, which I gave out on the group chat, and I think on a numbers game, a bunch of different places, plus 250 to win the division. So I think the Steelers are winning that division.
To win the AFC, the Baltimore Ravens are plus 950. That's not nearly enough.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
What are the Chiefs with you and your big shot Chiefs?
Probably 4-5-1.
Yeah, it's 4-5-1.
What did you say, Todd? Me and my what?
Patriots are
you and Joe and Willie with your big shot Chiefs.
Buffalo Bills are the short shot to win the AFC plus 225. The Chiefs are next at plus 450. And your Indianapolis Colts, Toddy, are plus 750. Followed by the Chargers and Broncos, both at plus 850, then the Ravens at plus 950.
I would take a shot with the Broncos if it wasn't for the Colts, but I like the Colts, but I think the Broncos could do it too. The Broncos, you know,
they
just
Knicks,
went
though.
In.
You hate Bo Nix. I hate Bo Nix more than you hate the Aces blowing first half spreads when they're up 7 and you're laying 1.5.
I'm not a big Bo Nix guy, but let me tell you something. That defense is for reals.
Nobody wants to take the Jaguars at 15-1?
I think the more interesting up the board would be the Patriots now that they have a win on the road against the Bills. Like, that's over 20-1.
22-1, yeah.
Yeah, and you've got – I mean, they beat the Bills at home, and now they've negated all that scheduling difference because they've got, you know, obviously a big tiebreaker advantage.
That would make it full circle, the worst 4 months possible for Bill Belichick. Like, if you're somebody that hates Bill Belichick, which I'm not, I don't hate him, but if you're somebody that Belichick's a phony, he only had Brady, he was never that great. This 3-4 months with UNC going as bad as it has, culminating with the Patriots somehow, you know, getting to the Super Bowl. And I'll throw in one more. You know, Mac Jones playing well in San Francisco. This is about as bad a 3-4 months for Belichick as you could possibly have. All of those things,
but not in the bedroom, Willie. Not in the bedroom.
Don't worry, Will. Lombardi's got it all figured out, so it'll be okay. He's got it all figured out. Willie, your last play.
I have bad news for all you guys. I love all your picks. My third was going to be the Saints, but I don't want to do that to Joe. I like Joe. I'm like Todd. I do like Joe Pita, so I don't want to sabotage him.
Yeah.
I thought about taking the Falcons.
I don't like Joe Pita now. Where are you getting?
I don't know. I thought that's what you texted me. I thought that's what you
vibe. Yeah, I said Joe Pita, sponsored by Will's an Asshole.
I'm going to go with the 49ers getting 3 against Tampa. Look at the 4 wins for Tampa by a combined 9 points. This game is going to be close. every Tampa game is close. I know they're the darling of the week, but that's usually the time to fade these teams in the NFL when everyone is, you know, kissing their ass. Oh, Baker Mayfield's MVP. They're a team of destiny. We'll see. DVOA has the 49ers 16th in DVOA and Tampa 18th, or it's 14th and 16th. San Francisco is the better team in DVOA by two spots. You can't give Tampa that much for home field. That's one of the more inconsequential home fields in the NFL. I think I've got pretty equal teams here. I'll take the 3 points with San Francisco.
Wait, Tampa is 18th best?
The middle of the pack. It's either, I just looked at it, it's 14 and 16 or 16 and 18. I'll find out right now.
You know,
now.
And Gilly, can DVOA we talk
sponsored
about
by Aaron Schatz.
Can we talk about this just for a second? Because this is something that really rankles me. It probably rankles Joe Pete as well.
18.
You know, last week, these guys, first, Cleve T.A. I love, and Cleve T.A. was just making a point that the Jets are better on offense than you actually think, but he did come up with some stat where they were third or something like that, and even he agreed that was ridiculous. But some of these stats, I don't know where they're getting the inputs from, and it really just brings me to another issue. Late Sunday afternoon, late before the games were about to start, like 12:50, I'm driving down to the Rivers, and I hear on the thing that the Dallas Cowboys are not starting 4 out of 5 starters at offensive line. The line jumps from Cowboys -1.5 to like Jets -1.5. Some crazy move. And I'm sitting here going, wait. Just a second here. I love how these guys get on the talking heads, get on. Oh, everybody's injured. Okay, yeah, cluster injuries are a thing, and very often that's important. But do we know who the backups are, and do they have a plan to be able to massage their way through the game without their starter? We don't know any of that. So this gigantic, just absolute rush to judgment about this guy's out, this guy. You don't know who the backup is. Now, if you could have told me, oh, the starting safety's out and the backup safety is this guy from East Toledo's Tech and he stinks. Okay, fine. But they never tell you that. They just go, oh, it's a backup. Oh, automatically he's terrible. You know, I mean, what do you guys think about that? I think it's just ridiculous.
It's a great point.
It is a good point. I'll tell you what team I was specifically looking at this year, and it did not come into play until the cluster injuries occurred. And that was when Rashad Slater went down for the Chargers in preseason. Pretty much consensus, one of the top one or two left guards in the league, right? And
Rashawn, by the way.
Rashawn, excuse me. Thank you. And I immediately was starting thinking about, all right, we got to, you know, that's the offensive line is such a big deal for Harbaugh that this is a big hit. But I guess Joe Alt slid over kind of seamlessly week 1 and 2, and then more injuries have and we, you know, I think the Chargers are, and they're no longer the darlings because of that. You know, it's no fault of the skill position players and maybe no fault of Harbaugh, but once you get to the 6th or 7th offensive linemen, once you get to 8 and 9, I kind of feel like it doesn't matter who it is, and you can really start to tick off, knock down teams.
How did the Cowboys score all those points this week then?
No, it was a great performance. I actually think Schottenheimer, who everyone crapped on that hire when it happened, everyone kind of snickered at it. He's actually done a decent job. I would only push back on Todd in that it's a reasonable thought process to think, you know what, they got 4 offensive linemen out. The backups probably aren't as good as the starters, and there's going to be a drop-off. But your point is well taken that we don't really know. It's not like, because we don't have stats on offensive linemen. It's not like a quarterback or a pitcher in baseball where, all right, this pitcher's going in. How good is he? How good is the backup? Where it's just offensive linemen. They're kind of nameless, faceless positions. But I don't think it's like an unreasonable conclusion to think, all right, these offensive linemen aren't going to be as good as the starters.
No, I'm not.
Go ahead, Todd. Go ahead.
I'm not saying that there isn't going to be a drop off. I just think sometimes this absolute knee jerk rush to judgment immediately is a little premature when we've seen this happen. You know, and I'm not poo pooing cluster injuries. It's just like Joe Pita just said. In the first 2 weeks, they jiggered their way out of it. In the third and the fourth weeks, they didn't. They weren't able to rejigger their way through it because, you know, that's a word, you know, massage, jiggering, whatever you might want to call it. They figured their way through how to get around it. And then once there's too many injuries, okay, fine, you're right. And we see it on the field. But, you know, can we at least see it on the field before everyone just goes absolutely ape crap and now the Jets are going to kill the Cowboys?
Well, you're right. There's an inconsistency, right? Because with Baltimore's defense, the same people who would say, well, I mean, they have so many defense, they have so many injuries on defense, of course Houston crushed them, would not then take past the comma and go,
oh, but the Cowboys had this cluster injury and it did work out for them, right? Yeah. So you're right. Without really knowing how many East Toledo Tech players they have, I believe it was the school you mentioned, the Shofars, the Fighting Shofars of East Toledo Tech. I think that's a good point. And you know who does this in college is Dr. Bob, our buddy, who all of these, like the Phil Steels of the world, right? In college football from year to year, this is before NIL and transfer portal, so it's a little more quaint when they did it. But it was always like, oh, they're replacing 8 starters on offense. And Bob would always be like, yeah, but if the starters sucked, what does it matter if they're being replaced, right? No one ever takes that extra sort of beat to say that. So it's a good point, I think. Yeah. All right, where are we? Teasers? Teaser of the week.
We're up to the teasers, yeah.
Teaser of the week. Two-leg. Joe, your favorite two-leg six-point teaser of the week is?
Let's see.
We don't have a sponsor for this, do we?
I think I started to mouth OnlyFans to you and you waved it off. So
I'm sorry, Jake. Sponsored by no one.
No, wait, what does OnlyFans have to do with a teaser? Because they're because they tease you. I get it.
Quick, Toddy.
I had to put that one together because I've never been on OnlyFans, at least as a buyer. As a seller, of course, I've been on for many years.
I see you had to Wikipedia the term to figure out. Okay, yes. That's fair. That's fair. So yeah, my teasers. One is so square. Well, first I'll get the non-square part. I'm going to tease up the Miami Dolphins at home. Off 4 up to 10, I think.
4.5 to 10.5.
Yes, love that. So yeah, I'll tease the again
four, just maybe.
Exactly what we talked about with the Chargers offensive line. I'm happy to tease that up.
I think you're
Dolphins
right.
Dolphins really 4.5 though.
Yeah, it's more four.
Okay. Four, that's fine.
4 to 10.
4 to 10 is fine. And then I'll
give you 4.5, Joe.
Okay. And then it's I'll square it up with the Broncos teasing that one down.
That one, Tottenham Stadium, where you have been.
I was just there a week and a half ago. Tottenham Stadium, absolutely fantastic there on White Horse Lane.
White Horse Lane, even got the street.
I heard there was a thing about the England game that the NFL messed up the ticket thing on the people's phones and people couldn't get into the Vikings Browns game until like way into the game because it was like a mess up on the tickets. Did you guys hear about that?
Oh, I did. I did know that Will Reichard, though, on his field goal that he missed, hit the cable.
Yeah.
You see that?
By the way, that affected the point spread too, because made that, it would have been 17 all. The game was going to end 20-17 instead of 21-17.
Oh.
Listen, you colonizers. No, let me stop.
My all teaser. Right. It's my turn for the teaser, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles for all the reasons we talked about earlier about the Eagles. Eagles, birds, they call them the birds down there. The Eagles -1, and I'm going to put them with the Broncos -1 because you know what? By the way, Tyrod Taylor's better than Justin Fields. I knew that before the season. I knew that last week. I knew that 3 weeks ago. I still know it. Doesn't really matter, but I'm just telling you that.
Willie?
I'll go with the Eagles too. How will WIP be, Joe, tonight if the Eagles lose to the Giants and the Phillies get eliminated by the Dodgers? That can't happen on the same night. I don't think Philly's losing to this.
You think they staggered Giants that for Philadelphia fans?
It's a great question because there's no reason you should be playing in the shadows of Dodger Stadium at that first game.
Gets Glasnow too, which is tough.
Phillies can hit right-handers, but I agree. Phillies have a very good left-handed lineup. Yeah. to counter that. And Sanchez, you know, I worry about batters 1 through 4. Of course, it's only been batters 2 through 4 this so far. So Otani's done nothing, and that scares me too. But I'm quietly confident in Sanchez tonight getting, especially at plus money.
Have we checked on Wheeler? Wheeler definitely can't go. You can't get Wheeler back for five innings? No,
serious. That's a serious injury.
Joe, if you have kids, Phillies, Joe. Before Willie goes and gives this teaser, Joe, if you have children, I don't know whether you did have children or you didn't, but if you did have children and you took them to a sporting event, would you allow them to get 4 items, jamming their pie hole with item after item, pizza, popcorn, ice cream? I mean, isn't there a limit as a parent that you have to set or no?
No, that's how you get them, especially because I had 2 girls. That's how I started getting them. It started with Stanford football games. And then that that oldest one, she's in university in London. I just took her to the Tottenham game last week. So, and she doesn't know whether a ball is inflated, wound, or stuffed with feathers. And yet she had a great time at the game because of the, you know, because of the accoutrements that
the pomp and circumstance.
Yeah.
Willie, go. You can give your teaser now.
Philly and Rams.
Philly and Rams. That's exactly mine. Yeah. Eagles and the ramifications. That's mine as well. All right, Todd, do your prop of the week thing.
You know, one big problem. Wait, I've got to write down yours. Yours is Eagles and Rams too?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm going Chris Boswell over 1.5 field goals made.
You know, it's so funny because a lot of the props are not up on Thursday when we do this. So that's what the problem with doing the props is, unfortunately.
That's right.
Is you just don't get enough of them up. But I was thinking about Boswell because you said that. And I was thinking this is the ultimate Boswell week. You got a Cleveland Browns team that is going to come in here with a good defense. Pittsburgh's not going to be able to get the ball in the end zone. This could easily be, you know, 4 Boswell field goals. They get 12 off of that, a touchdown, 19-14 Steelers or something. So I think Boswell is a great pick this week over 1.5 field goals.
Is Steve Bedrosian available today for the Phillies? Is he available?
How about 2008 Brad Lidge? I wouldn't be unhappy with that.
Mitch Williams is.
Oh, please. I get shivers. Again, especially because we could have that Toronto-Philly rematch World Series.
I caddied for Steve Bedrosian, Gilly, believe it or not.
Did you really?
Cy Young Award winner, Steve Bedrosian.
Yeah. As a reliever, right? Wasn't he a reliever when he won it?
Yep. Yeah. If we were, Joe and I were talking about this on the radio side this morning, if the Blue Jays and Dodgers end up in the World Series, what is that line going to look like? That's going to be like value night after night on the Blue Jays, probably.
Minus $3 for the series, right?
No, that's too high. 230? So? 300, Willie?
230 is cheap. In a best of 7?
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know who had the better record. The Blue Jays probably had the better record. Blue Jays did have the better record, right? So Blue Jays would have home field. So, yeah, maybe 250, 230, boy.
No. I mean, the Blue Jays like have some really good starters. Have you seen some of these Blue Jays starters they have?
Dave Steve.
I saw them throw about 19 different relievers sticking up the Yankees' ass last night. That's what
Jimmy
I saw.
E. I mean, they are loaded.
The Yankees can't hit a guy named Fluharty. It's incredible.
And that kid Little came in, that lefty, he was shook. He walked the first guy. He got behind on Wells. Like, this kid's dying to give it away. And Wells drove a ball. I think it was 4-1 in the 7th. And he hit the ball almost out. And then he kind of settled in. But they had the tying run up on the 7th, the 8th. And just couldn't get the big hit. Eric killed him, too.
Anything better than this time of year? Football on the weekend, baseball.
March Madness is close with the conference tournaments into the NCAA tournament. But no, this is still better slightly.
I agree. Todd, you had a prop?
What about in the summer when you have like the UFL going on Fox along with the WNBA and a couple of baseball games? That's pretty solid in June. All right. I'm going to go with Boswell also because I looked up the props that I wanted. I want to look up Ferguson because Ferguson keeps winning week after week. The Cowboys without first of all, they used to throw to him even with the guy who drops all the balls, CeeDee Lamb. But without him, they're throwing to him all the time, and I just don't think they're going to make that Ferguson number high enough. So you might want to look at the catches on Ferguson. I actually I put Ferguson with Mark Andrews in a little parlay because they were both really high money lines, and of course Andrews dropped the third ball into an interception, which cost me, unfortunately.
Man. All right, Will, you want a prop or no?
I can't decide between the two, so I'll just give both of them. Mason Taylor, over 34.5. I gave this out last week. It hit 9 targets 2 weeks ago against the Dolphins, 12 targets last week. He's been in the upper 60s in receiving yards. I get this is a better defense against Denver, but nephew, really, of Joy Taylor, son of Hall of Famer Jason Taylor, he's starting to get more and more usage. So I'll go Taylor.
What about his catches, Will? If you're saying he's targeted 12 times, what is his catches?
Probably 2.5, 3.5, something like that. Probably not a bad way to go either. But all it takes is one big one with the yard. True. So I'm torn between that, and I think you'll like this one, Toddy. McMillan on the Panthers, 63.5 receiving yards going against that crappy Cowboys pass defense. I think he'll have his targets, his yards. The Cowboys just playing against their opponents, player props over in the passing game is a good way to go. So McMillan over receiving yards, Taylor over receiving yards.
Tetaroa, the first Tetaroa in the history of the National Football
League. I like him. He's good.
Tetaroa Wishnev. If you had a son, Tetaroa.
That's my middle name. Tuvia Tetaroa.
Todd Tuvia Cineroa. All right, final two questions of each and every Megapod. Which of the big favorites do you want no part of? Which of the no, that's not the question. I just mixed up two questions. Which of the big favorites? Which of the big favorites is the one most likely to lose outright?
By the way, we got a couple of those right last week.
Oh yeah, we usually get some of those right. Which was the big favorite that lost? Oh, Cardinals. Yeah, we did.
No, and the Bills.
Don't remind me. Don't remind me. It's too soon. All right, here are your choices this week, Joe. Eagles, your Eagles, 7.5-point favorites, or seven. That's coming back up to 7.5, by the way, creeping back up. Look at that. At the New York Giants, Broncos, 7.5-point favorites in London, England, Tottenham Stadium against the Jetropolitans. The Colts, 7.5-point favorites at home against the Cardinals. Rams, 7.5-point favorites on the road against the Ravens. You might sense a pattern here. And then finally, the biggest favorite on the board, the Packers, 14-point favorites at home against the Cincinnati Bengals. Which of those, Joe, is the most likely to lose outright?
I think it's the Rams. And I know that goes against your picks. And of course, the logic of the picks is sound, but I'm just going with coaching staffs here. I can't believe, and I got, by the way, it was, I had a millions pick last week on the Rams that was, you know, out of it 8 minutes into the first quarter.
Me too.
I can't believe I don't believe that team will quit on John Harbaugh, and I can't believe he can't scheme better than what we saw last week. So, you know, given that home field, I get that the Rams have a rest advantage, and but they are coming east. What, second time in 3 weeks? Yeah, second time in four weeks.
Early window. Yeah.
If it's going to happen, if the Ravens, you know, if John Harbaugh is who he is, I just can't believe they're going to embarrass themselves again. So yeah, I don't think they're going to win. But you're asking me of that group. That's who I'd say.
Quote the Raven.
You know, it's something I was thinking about. I'm curious what you three guys think of it. It was almost part of my – I meant to include it part of my handicap with the Rams. I disagree a little bit on Harbaugh. And Gil, I think you've got some insight on this. Harbaugh has a reputation as being tough, as being a hard ass. I think that stuff works when the players are winning. They can buy into that. I think when you're 1-4 and you're losing, that hard ass stuff gets real old real quick. I worry they start to tune him out and just get sick of it. That goes the wrong way. Same thing happened with Belichick, where, all right, we're going 13-3. I'll put up with your bullshit, but when we're losing, I don't want to deal with, you know, your over the top style.
That New York Rangers coach. No? That reminds me of that New York Rangers hockey or Blackhawks
Tortorella?
Hockey coach. No. There was like about 20 years ago. Was it Keegan or somebody?
Keenan. I can't remember.
Mike Keenan was like a real hard ass. And then when the team went bad, it went right in the toilet. I agree with you, Willie.
This is all the Owen Wright curse. Them cutting Owen Wright when they shouldn't have. Owen Wright picked up by the Buccaneers practice squad, baby. Let's go.
Is it my turn? I'll go Cardinals, Colts. Colts.
No, I respect Will's thought. I think it does depend who the leaders in the locker room are. Yeah. If they are a reflection, and of course Harbaugh has been lucky enough to have those type reflections of him also as captains in the locker room. I don't know enough about who's leading the locker room, but absolutely, if he's lost the leaders, then the hard ass stuff, you know, does, you know.
But wouldn't we have seen that last week, Joe?
And maybe we did. Look, maybe we did. That was an embarrassing showing.
Yes, it was. Hugely embarrassing.
I mean, I just showed you that game in that game, forget about anything else. And I just said, okay, now make the lines this week with the teams. You would say the Ravens are one of the worst teams in the National Football League.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Without question. Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Will?
Colts and Cardinals. Wouldn't it be typical NFL if the Cardinals, we all shit on them all week and they come out and they have this great effort? Whether it's Murray who plays or Brissett, who's not a horrible backup, at least has some experience, and the Cardinals win a, I don't know, 23-20 game. They block a kick, they rally, and they somehow win. I don't think it'll happen, but it's the NFL, as we saw last week. Who the hell knows?
Y'all ready for this? Don't. Packers.
Joe Flacco.
Not him rediscovering, but the Bengals getting T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase rediscovered with a new quarterback who doesn't throw picks at the rate that Jake Browning does. And the Packers lollygag, take the Bengals for granted, and they lose it outright. That would be the one I would pick. How about that?
What percent of Survivor do you think will be on Green Bay?
Okay, so this came up So I don't know. I'm saying it's going to be about 50%.
Yeah, I've put it between 40 and 45.
And in the real
mainly because, excuse me, sorry, yeah. Gil, mainly because they play Carolina at home in 2 weeks. Yeah. Another juicy spot for them.
The real interesting thing I brought up with Joe this morning is in Grandissimo, which is $100,000 per entry. There are 16 entries left. So you can actually look around a room and see the entries now. What is the number? If you're in Grandissimo and you anticipate, let's say 10, 9, 8, 7, what's the number of entries that have to play Green Bay in your head that would immediately mean you'd have to play someone else? Because in a perfect world, the Joe Pita thought exercise, if you knew it was going to be 15, right, you got a shot at all that money, you would obviously play somebody else. Or you'd go oppo, in other words. But what's the number in your head where it's like, oh, I can't play Green Bay. I'm too close to this money to play Green Bay now. I got to go for it. That's the interesting thing. When it gets to that few entries, you know. But we have no way of knowing till Saturday. What's the pot of Grandissimo?
$6.9 million.
Oh, $6.9 million, right. So the actual retail value right now of a Grandissimo entry is north of $400,000.
Gilly, I'll tell you a little thing between me and you, as long as you keep it between me and you. But I have 10 Grandissimos still left right now. I control 10 of those. Yes.
Sweetie, was that the OnlyFans, the outgoing OnlyFans you were talking about?
Well, before? That was because I sold a lot on OnlyFans.
Yeah, that's what I mean. What are you doing? I don't want to ask.
Those two of your feet pictures.
Oh, stop it.
It's Fatso Fetish.
Last question. Oh, I didn't say. Oh, yeah, I did say. Last question. Joe, we play in a bizarro world. You must bet a side on each and every one of these NFL games, but you get one free pass. One game you want no part of it is.
It is Las Vegas, Tennessee. I don't know what to do with either of those teams.
That's as good a pick as any. Toddy?
I guess I go with that also. Although the Miami team I never figure out, so I wouldn't like the Miami Charger game either.
Willie?
Dallas, Carolina. I'm not cutting a line to bet.
Yeah, I was going to go Dallas, Carolina. Just because I don't know how much of that Dallas stuff was for real the other day. I'm not buying it.
Dak's playing well. People crap on him because they get so much attention and he doesn't win in the playoffs. Dak's a good player, though.
He is.
The other one, by the way, is in rather than go to like a really crappy game, Chicago, Washington. Yeah. No outcome there would surprise me. If you told me Washington blew them out, I would not be surprised. If you told me Chicago won by 10, I wouldn't be all that shocked.
You wouldn't?
I wouldn't, just because I can see a world where Washington's defense just becomes Marcus Lattimore is terrible on this team. Marcus Lattimore and Mike Sanistrill in man coverage is really bad.
Other than the Atlanta game, who really moved the ball on Washington?
Oh, everybody's moving on them.
What, besides, the Chargers didn't?
Green Bay kind of did. Green Bay did, and then they took their foot off the gas. If you're a Ben Johnson believer, a Ben Johnson truther, you think he's got 2 weeks to prepare and he can pick apart this Washington defense, maybe that's the way you look at it. But
Ben Johnson truther, I like that.
Oh, yeah, this is a Ben Johnson revenge game, possibly, after the NFC divisional game last
year. Right. Raiders did in garbage time. I don't know if that counts or not. But they
didn't. Ben Johnson pass on the Commanders job too?
He did. Ben Johnson, the new Josh Maybe Harris.
It's a Commanders revenge game.
Josh Harris, they flew the legend goes that they flew Ben Johnson out to have an interview, and that Ben Johnson turned down the job because he thought that the organization was, quote, too basketball-y. Because it was only Josh Harris on the Sixers, but Bob Myers was on the sort of advisory team, the former Warriors GM. Magic is a minority owner. So that's what the legend is, that he said that. Who knows if he did or not. Anyway, he ends up with Caleb instead of Jaden. Good luck to you. So there you go. Gentlemen, we didn't get there with Todd. What's your answer to this?
Colts.
Did you say
I think the Colts, even though I love the Colts, I think the Colts wouldn't totally surprise me. I mean, the Cardinals are still a legit team.
Let me tell you something. The Cardinals beat the Colts with God knows who at quarterback. That's going to be brutal. Will's right. Totally brutal. All right, Will, thank you for not having a walk baseball prop during the show today. I appreciate that. How did it go yesterday? Did you get your prop in? Did it work?
No, he only walked once, and Guerrero came up. I had him to walk the first at bat. I was thinking, this is perfect. Man on second, one out. Of course they're going to pitch around him. No, we'll go right after him and give up an RBI single. He's only hitting 700 for the series. What could go wrong?
That's why you keep harping on that. Don't you guys think he should have walked Guerrero?
What about Jose Ramirez? Isn't Jose Ramirez in the game? He should be walking, right?
Appreciate everybody listening. Joe Pita, everybody. Trading Bases, Tour Guide 2019 Masters. And can we get Moneyball for the money set on Amazon?
Oh, yeah. All the most amazing thing is that Trading Bases is still in print.
Incredible.
11 years. It still sells some copies that who would have ever thought? Complete unknown when you had me on that callback to the start of the show. When you had me on that first podcast, I had just signed a book contract to write the book.
Yeah.
Who would have ever thought it'd still be in print?
It's amazing. Do you think you will write books in the future?
I don't think so. I think I've hit. I think that was it.
I consider my. I think you said this before I did, which is Moneyball for the money set, which is really evaluating financial advisors, right?
It would be evaluating. It's a performance analytics for portfolio managers,
right?
And it mirrors the work I did for Steve Cohen.
Mets owner Steve Cohen, for those who are wondering. It's kind of your legacy book in some ways,
right? It's a disguised textbook for that really there might be, if the next generation of quants on Wall Street want to pick up a starting point.
Yeah.
It's there. There's some breakthrough stuff in there for the industry. And that's why I was hired by a billionaire, right?
Yeah.
Todd,
you'd love it, by the way.
I was just going to say $17 right now on Amazon. I mean, people spend more on Todd's toe pictures. $17 is a steal. I'm going to order it right now.
It's the belly pictures, not the toe pictures. Well, by the way, gold at 5,000, Joe, is the world coming to an end? Because it really feels like it.
I like assets with intrinsic value. In an inflationary world, that's not bad for stocks and real estate either. Never has been. But yes, the gold and other assets, look, they make sense when you're running trillions of dollars of deficits and you're the world's reserve currency.
And also what I've heard is that we're a Fugazi stock market with the seven companies with AI, and every other company is masked with garbage. So I feel like America's looking a little Fugazi. I would take the world against America plus the points at least for the next couple of weeks.
That's a pairs trade that has been a loser for hundreds of years. you won't get me to support that trade as I like to. I better not mention any single stock names just because of where I'm employed. But
I'm just kidding around, Joe.
If you look at those 500 companies that are in the S&P 500. Almost all of them make money every single day. Think of any of the consumer product brands that you use. So they're worth more at the end of the day intrinsically than they are at the beginning of the day. That's a tough trade to fade.
Would you tease the world up with on a 6-point teaser? You tease the world up.
The only thing I was worried about was the U.S. economy looking a little Baltimore Ravens defensive-ish lately. That's all I'm saying.
As the great Norm MacDonald once said when he was handicapping World War II, it was them against the world.
Because the Germans picked.
Actually, maybe plus 135 at points.
I like how he goes, and the Germans picked as their adversary the world.
That's right. Who did they pick again the next time? The world again. It was close.
I don't know if you guys are history buffs.
The more I hear about this Hitler, the less I care for him. I love the turn of the phrase.
He is the best.
The less I care for him. Gentlemen, thank you. Joe, thank you for doing this. Joe had other plans, and he stayed in town to do this here at the studio. Thank you for listening. Good luck with all your bets. Week 6 in the National Football League.
Dun, 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 dun.